So then after the accident, what started happening? And then tell us about the accident. Tell us about that event. I hate to pain you with that, but...
Oh, no, no, it's okay. I think the key thing to know is that in the car accident, that he suffered what's called internal decapitation. And what that means is that, for all intents and purposes, his head was not attached to his body.
Oh, my God.
The spinal cord was pretty much severed, and obviously that's generally leads to a fatality. And what we found after the accident, and again, later in the interview, if you'd like, we can get into what happened exactly, but
sure.
I want to address your question. He told us after he came out of a coma everything that happened during the accident, the things that happened afterwards, and then he had stories of heaven and all kinds of things. So the fact that, you know, his head was not really even attached to his body and he knew everything that happened during that time definitely caught our attention.
Absolutely. Now, how old was he when this happened in 2004?
He was 6 years old.
6 years old. Okay, so he's growing up. And what's his situation now, his physical situation?
Well, right now he's physically he's quadriplegic. He doesn't move below his neck. He breathes on a ventilator, although he can get off it. From the surgery that he had, he can get off it for, you know, maybe 5-10 minutes at a time now, and hopefully long term he'll be able to get off it completely. But he drives a wheelchair with his chin. He homeschools. He does school online. He gets on the internet and surfs by using a mouse that he does with his mouth. And so he's on time in school, and he's just an overall pretty neat kid.
Okay, you know, and one thing, and this is not part of the interview, but I do want to tell you this. I want to offer this to you. We've got a dear friend of the program here, Dr. Christian Wild, who works with doctors. He's an author, he's a researcher, he's a writer, he's a reporter. He has a doctor in Portugal. His name's a Dr. Lima, who has worked on now 165 quad and paraplegic people. 165, and he's got most of them moving around and walking now, Kevin.
Wow.
He uses stem cells. With your permission, I'd like to get Christian in touch with you, and at your own time, you two talk about this possibility, if you would.
Oh, sure.
Because it's truly, he's doing some remarkable work right now. And you know what? It never hurts.
That's right.
It never hurts. Now, after he came out of this situation, did he start acting strange from the get-go in terms of spiritually?
The weird thing was, George, he was perfectly normal, acted totally normal while he talked about these incredible things. He wasn't excited. He wasn't scared. He talked about them like you'd talk about anything else. And it came out slowly. We didn't really press it. It was pretty normal conversation about pretty extraordinary things.
And I assume you thought you were going to lose him.
Well, yeah. Well, first of all, I thought he lost it, you know.
Yeah.
One of the things I get asked a lot is, you know, what would you say to the person who reads your book and they're skeptical? And my answer is generally, I'll bet they're not as skeptical as I was.
Yeah.
I mean, yeah. I had seen what my father is a physician at Ohio State, and he had kind of taken me through the x-ray, and I mean, I remember him just saying, I said, so he had two injuries, right? One at the spinal cord and one in his brain. And he said, no, it's just one giant injury field. And so when he started telling us some of these stories that we'll discuss later, I thought he had brain damage. That was my first reaction.
Oh, yeah. And that's very normal to think that.
Which was also my worst fear. I mean, I was like, I thought, okay, if he doesn't move, that's okay. But if he's not Alex anymore, that's going to be unbearable. And so he came out and he started talking eventually, and I thought, uh-oh. Actually, the first thing he said to me, one of the first things he said to me is, are you my father? And I'm like, yeah.
That took you back a little bit, didn't it?
Yeah, well, again, I thought, okay, he has no recollection of me. He doesn't remember me. But he had quite another tale to tell following that comment as well.
I bet he did. How is he reacting now? Not physically. But in terms of this spiritual aspect of his life, is he aware of what he really went through?
Yes, he's fully aware of what happened.
Okay.
He actually, I was unconscious during the car accident. He he was as well, but he has total recall of everything that occurred. He has total recall of the time that he spent in heaven.
What happened in the accident, by the way? I mean, did you hit, well, hit another car? Or what happened?
Yeah, we actually, our fourth child had been born later at the tail end of that week, and we kind of, people wanted to stay home and get rest, and Alex and I went to church, and we were actually on our way home from church. We had just moved to the town about 6 weeks earlier. We were just trying to find a new way home. I had taken him to a playground, and we were just trying a country road, and I thought I could take a left turn, and in fact, it was one of those where it was cut out so that people kind of coming in perpendicular manner could take a left, but there was no road to turn left onto. You had to pull up a little bit further. Well, I looked out down the road, and there was nothing there. So I just pulled up to that next part and turned left. I did not look a second time, which was my error.
Ugh.
And it turns out that there was a huge dip in the road. There was a car down in the bottom of that swell, and we figured it was probably going about 55 miles an hour. I never saw it. I pulled right in front of it, and we got blindsided. And I was actually ejected from the car. I flew about 50 feet. At the point of impact, I was knocked unconscious. I woke up next to the car. I didn't know that I was ejected till